We've been going through the names of God, the names of Christ, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And today we will conclude this series on the prophecies out of Isaiah 9, 6. The last name is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." Jesus was wonderful in his birth. He was wonderful in his life. He was wonderful in his death. He was wonderful in his resurrection. He was wonderful in his return in the kingdom that he's going to set up. Counselor. He is all of God's wisdom. And when we need wisdom, we ask of Christ. We ask of Christ. He's a counselor. He's the one that comes alongside. He's the intermediary for us. He's the mighty God. Only God could do the things that he could do. He's the everlasting Father. The eternal God stepped out of eternity and stepped into our time, became subject to our time, so we could have eternity in heaven through his substitutionary death on the cross. But today, we're going to talk about the Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we just ask, help us, Lord, to be thankful to you. Lord, I pray that you just help your Holy Spirit have full reign here today. Father, help us to learn more about you. Help your word change our lives. Help your Holy Spirit, Lord, to have full control here, that we would yield to him. Bind Satan on our behalf. And Father, I pray that you just meet with us today. Lord, I lift up Benjamin Graham to you right now. Lord, I pray that you just help him with his cancer, his return. Lord, I just lift up others, Lord, that are having health issues, Lord. For Becky Gomez, Lord, I just pray that you just watch over them and heal them. Father, be with others that are sick. Be with those that are traveled in a way that you give them safety. But Father, help us to meet with you today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A prince was born in Bethlehem. Throughout the Bible, Christ is referred to as the Prince. Peter and John, after Christ had ascended into heaven, heal through the power of Christ a man that was lame from birth. He was lame, begging for alms at the temple. So we can't give you anything, but we can give you this, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And he is healed. And Peter and John go and they start preaching in the temple. And they identify Christ as the Prince of Life. In Acts chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "You all killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Every one of us in here today that knows Jesus Christ is a witness that he is wonderful. He's the Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace, and he gives us life. He is our Prince of Life. Amen. John, later on in his exile in the Isle of Patmos, sees Christ glorified and starts writing down the book of Revelation. And John sees him as the Prince of the kings of the earth. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the Prince of kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." See, it all comes back to one thing. It comes back to Christ and him crucified, buried, and risen again. That's the whole purpose behind this. He is the Prince of Life. He can give eternal life. He will be the Prince of Kings of the earth. But in our verse this morning, he is the Prince of Peace. God wants you to have peace. He wants, so he gives the Prince of Peace. God wants you to have peace. He wants you to have inner peace. And today I know there's a lot of people struggling with things that are going on in your life. And you may think that there's no hope. There is hope through Christ. There is hope through Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." Christ is telling his disciples the night before he gets crucified all these things to get them encouraged because they are sorrowful. Not as the world giveth. You can't find inner peace from the world. You can find inner peace from God. "Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God wants you to have peace. He wants you to have inner peace. God wants you to have outer peace or peace through trials. Boy, there's a lot of things going on in the world today, aren't there? And it's kind of hard to find the bright spots. I could tell you right now, these are all signs of Christ getting ready to come back. You need to be ready. Amen. You need to be ready. Later on, that night before he's crucified, Christ talks to his troubled disciples after he tells them all the things that are going to happen to them in the world. And he says in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have" what? "Peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." There is something on the other side. God gives us peace. He wants us to have peace. Peace and inner peace and outer peace. He wants us to have a full peace. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. He says, "Now the God of hope fill you with" what? "All joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." See, we're talking about the Prince of Peace today. Sent by God to give us peace, to give us inner peace, to give us outer peace, to make our peace full in our lives. This morning, I want to point out three things that the Prince of Peace will do. First of all, he will give you peace with God. The second thing he will give you is the peace of God. And the third thing is he will bring peace on earth. So this morning, let's look at the first point. Peace with God. You cannot have peace with God without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Millions have sought peace with God but have fallen short because they've done it through religious ritual. I would encourage you to come to church every Sunday, and not on just special Sundays. Don't make this a ritual in your life. Christ calls out the religious people of the day, and they're trying to do their best to be righteous, and they fall short. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, Christ calls them out. He calls out all who live by ritual. He says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." There's millions that have tried through religious ritual and fallen short. There's millions that try to do good works. There are a lot of religions today say, "If I do more good works than bad works, I get to heaven because God owes me something." Oh, it's not an issue of God owing you anything. It's the issue of you owing him everything. Amen. You can't do it through good works. In Romans chapter 3, verses 11 through 12, it says, "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh that of God. They are all gone out of the way," quoting Psalm 14. "They are together become profitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one." Millions have tried and fallen short. You need the Prince of Peace. A lot of people say, well, I'll pay God off. You know, that's the story of life in the world today. You upset somebody, you pay them off. You give them hush money to pay them off. That doesn't give you peace. That might make you feel good up here, but down here you know there's something wrong. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22 says, but the scripture concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Millions have sought peace with God through every which way except Christ, and you're going to fall short because there's a great gulf between sinners and our holy God. I find it interesting now in San Antonio that they're building houses very close together. And I often wonder, I said, I could jump from one roof to another. But you know something? I'm not going to try. Because if I'm short, I'm hurting person. There's a lot of people that say, yeah, I can bridge that gap between God and me by just doing something. You're going to fall short. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Not of works of righteousness that we have done, but by his grace we have saved, he has saved us through Christ Jesus. There's a great gulf fixed. And what causes that gulf is our sin. Christ talks about a parable about the rich man and Lazarus. And that gulf is fixed, and there's nothing you can do about it. And Christ had to do everything about it. And we know the story, or you should know the story. You've been in church long enough. There was a rich man who had all the good stuff in life, and there was a poor man by the name of Lazarus. And he just wanted to eat of the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. They both died, and the rich man went to hell. The poor man, Lazarus, went to paradise, Abraham's bosom, because the Old Testament saints had not been redeemed yet, because the cross had not happened yet. And the story goes that the rich man is in hell and he's tormented. He says, can you just send Lazarus a drop of water and put it on my tongue? Because I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham says in Luke chapter 16, verse 26, it says, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would lead, who would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that ye would come from thence. See, there's a great gulf between sinners and our holy God. Millions have sought peace with God, but have fallen short because they've not known the Prince of Peace. The gulf is bridged by the cross. Christ came in the manger, but he didn't stay there. Christ did all those works and taught all the stuff about the scripture, but it didn't end there. Christ went to the cross for us. The gulf is bridged by the cross. He paid our debt of sin. We have talked about in Isaiah that Isaiah sees the entire life of Christ from birth to death to coming back. He also has a unique opportunity because he looks at the condition of Israel in the world at that time and says that God is the only answer. Isaiah has 66 chapters and the Bible has 66 books. Isaiah is in the middle of the Bible. It's kind of like a micro Bible inside the Holy Scriptures. But in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The cross is empty. The tomb is empty because Christ finished his work. And now he sits on heaven and on the throne of heaven, offering salvation and forgiveness of sins for all those who will cry out to the Prince of Peace. He broke down all barriers. Oh, today we see so much in our world about, well, you're this type and you're this type. And there's so much polarization in the world. Christ breaks them all down. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18, he says, "This, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who have made both one, the Jew and the non-Jew, the Greek and the heathen, the rich and the poor, the man and the woman." And there is no in between. The old man and the baby. Says, "Ye who are so, for he is who hath made us both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contained in ordinances, for to make of himself of twain one new man, so making peace." Last Wednesday night we talked about the Lord's Prayer, not the one that we know that people recite, the one that Christ prayed for his disciples, that he prayed for his church. And he says the biggest important thing is you have unity. You're all one. You're one in belief. You're one in glorifying God. You're one in love. And he says here, "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make of himself of twain or two one new man, so making" what? "Peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." See, he broke down all the barriers. He paid our debt of sin. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 28, it says this. He says, "For there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for they are all one in Christ Jesus." So he breaks down all barriers. And he made peace through his blood. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, it says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven." See, he paid our sin debt. He broke down all the barriers. He made peace through his blood. The gulf is bridged by the cross. That was the purpose he came to the manger. That was the purpose he showed himself as the Son of God to all that would believe. That was the purpose that he could teach with authority. That was the purpose he could do all the miracles that only God could do. And they crucified him. He took the place of a murderer. We find peace with God through faith in Jesus. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace." Not might have, not think you have, not I hope I have. You have it. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, do you have peace with God? It can only be found through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. He has to pay your sin debt. He has to bridge the gap between you and God the Father. Well, you can't have the other pieces without the peace with God. You need the peace of God. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 to 8, it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your" what? "Hearts and minds." That's the inner peace. "Through Christ Jesus." Finally, you know, we need more of this today. You know, the way things go bad in our lives is because we choose to think those way, that way. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, reported to be any virtue, to be any praise, think on these things." Peace with God is positional and unchanging. Once you receive Christ as your Savior, He doesn't take that gift away. You are just like Him in the presence of God. His blood has justified you so you can stand before a holy God. That never changes. Titus chapter 3, verse 7 says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life, and you can never disown an adopted child. And God has adopted us. That, our peace with God, is positional and it's unchanging. God will never take that away. And you only have to do it once. But the peace of God is dependent on our relationship with Him. See, no one can take us away from the love of Christ. But we could sure act like it. We can turn our back on Him. Peter denied the Lord 3 times on that last night. Peter, he's the great example of those who turn their back on God. And Christ even called him out. See, we have to let the Holy Spirit reign in our life. When we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit. And He's in us forever. But we need to allow Him to work in our life. And it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy," and what's the third word? "Peace." That's inner peace and outer peace. Because if you don't have peace down here, you're not going to have peace in the world and your condition. Because your mind's messed up. And you're thinking on the wrong thing. Love, joy, peace. And then what happens if you know peace? Then you get long-suffering. Then you get gentleness. Then you get goodness. Then you get faith. See, the peace of God, not the peace with God, but the peace of God, is dependent on our relationship with Him. And we have to change. He's done everything, and He's unchanging. Many have made peace with God, but missed the peace of God. We thank God that He saved us, but as far as living in this world, we live just like the world. And we don't live like Him. And we miss the peace of God. You know, it talks about Christ that He was reviled, but He reviled not again. There was no guile found in His mouth. On the cross, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He saved the thief on the cross. He had compassion because not only did He have peace with God, He had the peace of God. Here's the path to peace. There's 4 steps here. Be anxious about nothing. Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, says, "Don't worry about what you need. God knows you need it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things be added unto you. Take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow will take thought of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof." of. Folks, we say we believe in God. We need to understand that God's got this. God's got this. He's got us. We need to be anxious about nothing. It says, be careful with nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Pray about everything. There's not two categories of prayer in our life or things in our life. Those that we could take care of and those that we want God to take care of. God needs to take care of everything. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. See, if you let him have the little stuff, you'll be more prone to give him the big stuff. God is a God of caring. He's not a God of crisis. Sometimes we only come to God when we have something too big for us. No, it needs to be every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Do all those things on a daily basis. Pray about everything. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks without ceasing. You know, Paul said, I reckon that the present troubles shouldn't compare with the glory that's to come in Romans chapter 8. And folks, what we need to do is we need to give thanks without ceasing. You know, there's people not thankful about this season. I don't get it. We should be thankful to God every day. Amen. And especially this time of year. And then think only about praise. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And if you do those four things, the result is you'll have peace that passeth understanding. What does that really mean? The world doesn't get it. You will. And they won't understand how you can get through troubles the way you have. I'm so glad that Vi is here today. Amen. A terrible car accident. And most people just kind of roll up in a little ball and die. But she had faith in God. And God delivered her. And she's here healed now. She had peace through that time. Folks, it works. It's peace that passeth understanding. So do you have the peace with God this morning? Do you have the peace of God this morning? Christ will bring peace on earth. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Won't that be great? Neither shall they learn war any more. That's the other side of the tribulation period. For right now we hear what? Wars and rumors of war. Lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. This peace was announced about the Messiah. The angels in Luke chapter 2 verse 14 says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth what? Peace, goodwill to men. This peace awaits the kingdom. And this is the last part of God's plan when Christ comes back to reign for 1,000 years. And then afterwards, he sets up a new heaven and a new earth. Will be there if you know Christ. And if you don't know Christ, you'll probably see it and you wish you were there. But you can't get there. It's too late. It's too late. This peace awaits the kingdom. Here in our text in Isaiah 2:4, it says, there will be no more war. There's even peace among animals. That'd be great. All of our cats would get along. Your dogs and your cats would get along. Isaiah 11:6-8, it says, the wolf shall also dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall be lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, the fatling together, and a little child shall what? Lead them. Can you get a picture of this? This is what the peace on earth that God can bring will do. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and the young one shall be lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den, and nothing will hurt because God's got everything in control. There's no more war, even peace among the animals. There's peace instead of violence. Verse 9 and 10 of Isaiah 11, it says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign against the people of the people. So shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Are you looking for that day that you could call out that rest for that rest? You have to have peace with God. You need to understand the peace of God, because he's going to bring peace on earth. You listen to some politician said, we're going to bring peace on earth. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. Because man's not going to fix it. God will. Amen. God will. We messed it up, and only God can fix what we messed up. There's going to be peace in nature. It says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God, and is brought about because of the everlasting Father, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. In verse 7 it says, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and a thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. God's going to change the world one day. But what he wants to do is he wants to change you today. He wants to change you if you don't know him. If you don't have the peace with God, he wants to give you that peace today through trusting his son for salvation. For the Christian, he wants to give the peace of God that passeth understanding today, so we can get through this morass called the world, because we know that there's something better on the other side. And when we know him, we will see peace on earth. But the Bible says there is no peace to the wicked. No matter what man tries to do, it's not going to fix it. It all started before eternity passed, before this world was even made. God knew what was going to happen. We visibly see it in the manger on Christmas Day. We see the plan fulfilled on Easter with the resurrection of Christ. We're waiting for the rest of the story. The best is yet to come. Gabriel promises to Mary. And as I close this morning, before Christ is born, Gabriel appears to Mary and says this: he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Oh, are you waiting for that, folks? Are you waiting for that? That will give you peace. That will give you hope. That will give you assurance. That will allow you to get up in the morning and say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Do you long for peace? Do you long for peace this morning? Christ will bring peace to your troubled heart. Someday he will bring peace to this troubled world. But not today. But he will. The most important thing, he's worried for you. He wants to give you peace today. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask to be with this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts. And Lord, help us, Lord, to find your peace. Lord, if someone here does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that they would find the peace of your salvation. They would have peace with God. For us, Lord, that know you, Lord, help us to have the peace of God that allow us to live our lives glorifying you. And Lord, help us to look forward to that day that you're going to restore peace on earth as only you can do. Lord, meet with us today, Lord, as we meet with you. Have your Holy Spirit have full reign this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.